And now it's time for Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What's happening, Saturday fans? Hope you've had a great weekend so far. Friday counts, man. Hope everybody was getting tipsy at the club last night. I get to be with you today up until 12:45. That's when the Cubs continue their series with the Reds at Wrigley Field. 12:45 for the pregame show. The first pitch at 1:20. It all goes down on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I am Mark Grody, and we are open. 312-644-6767. That is the number. At 11:30 on the show today, we will have Josh Schrock on from NBC Sports Chicago. This is his final weekend of covering the Chicago Bears. He's been around for the last few years, and it'll be good to talk. He's fine. He's okay. But we'll talk to him about that a little bit and just his impressions of covering the Bears. I mean, it's in the time that he was here, there was complete chaos. So here is somebody who was, you know, not from here, and I will look forward to just getting his feel for what covering the Bears has been like. And obviously we'll talk about the game against the Rams tomorrow and get into everything about the NFL. We'll go even more in-depth on the NFL and the Bears with Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. That'll be coming up again at noon today on the show. So, yeah, the Bears do host the Rams tomorrow. Here's some of the things that I'm thinking about right now. We know what the Bears need to do, and this is something that has been said every day for about 30 years. Get the offense going. Get it in gear. Be representative. Get it right. So the first thing I'm looking here in the name of that and beating the Rams is Caleb Williams. And in theory, he will have some room with which to work tomorrow. The Rams this year, although they do get pressure, the Rams have only 4 sacks this year. They've only gotten home 4 times in a year in which sack numbers are up. Caleb Williams, for instance, has been sacked 13 times. You knew that, though. I'm just looking, just digging in a little bit on the Rams, because who are the Rams anyway? Byron Young, a couple of sacks so far this year, 4 tackles for loss. A guy that you know, rookie Jared Verse, 1 sack. He also has 4 tackles for loss. He does get a decent amount of pressure. He has been a relative disruptor so far. So that's one thing I look at, that maybe Caleb Williams will have some comfort back there in the pocket this year, for this game. Maybe the Bears will be able to do a little bit more against this Rams defense. Now, that also, I am taking into account the poor play of the Bears' offensive line so far this year. And you should know, I can tell you that tomorrow at Soldier Field, you will see the same starting 5 offensive linemen that you saw at the beginning of the Indianapolis game. And the only real thing you need to know in terms of the tweak is that, yes, it is Matt Pryor as your right guard. He will be your starting right guard. Nate Davis, not on the injury list. Nate Davis has been benched, ladies and gentlemen. It has happened. There's no injury attached to it. Remember last week there was the groin, so when he didn't start, it was a little bit okay. Then he had to come into the game. It's happened. It's happened. I would say it's happened loudly and it's happened quietly, because we've been talking about this guy since training camp last year in terms of what's going on, what motivates this man. Does he want to be here? Does he love football? Does he care? Does he just collect in money? Whatever the case may be. And it felt like they gave him many chances, and then finally, quietly, he has faded away. Now, that doesn't mean you won't see him play for the rest of this year, because the Bears have things to figure out still on the offensive line. Yes, Darnell Wright will play. Darnell Wright, who had missed practice 1 day this week because of a back injury, he's good to go. Coleman Shelton still at the center spot. Tevin Jenkins, your left guard. Braxton Jones, your left tackle. So that's what it is for the Bears offense. So right now, until further notice, other than benching Nate Davis, the Bears are telling you, there's no there's no obvious improvement personnel-wise that we can make right now. And we think, this is from the coaching staff's perspective, we think that these guys are better than what they have shown. They've got to be. And I look at the Bears' offensive line, too, and I look at the players there. We know that there has been iffy play at center and at right guard, too. But if the Bears' offensive line sucks, then you are saying Tevin Jenkins sucks, Darnell Wright sucks, Braxton Jones sucks. And I bring those three guys up because I don't think any of those guys suck. So I do think, while the panic is warranted, I'm not telling anybody to calm down. You could be at your own temperature. I do think that those are players that are not as bad as they have shown so far this year. So I do think while it can't go on much longer like this, if you are serious about winning, that is true. But I just don't, in the name of this show, Saturday Suckage, when Stevie Sunshine is here, I don't think that those guys suck. I really don't. And I don't know about Matt Pryor yet. You know? We'll see. You know, I know Matt Pryor, it did not work out in 2022 with the Colts as a left tackle. He was quickly benched from that position. But as a guard and a monster-sized one at that, we'll see. We'll see. So I don't think that the offensive line is as bad as it has been so far. It's not out of the question, but that's what I think. Here's another thing that I'm thinking. As it pertains to the Bears defense, the sneaky Rams. Rams are 1-2. Have not looked good so far, but they did come back from 14 down last week to beat San Francisco. That was a stunner. And you could see scenarios with San Francisco maybe letting the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. They did not beat the Lions, but they also mounted a big comeback against the Detroit Lions. I think this portends well. Portends, by the way, my favorite word. I try to use it naturally and organically, and I think it just happened. It portends well for the Bears' defense because the Rams' offense has been strong in the second half. And guess what the Bears' defense has been this year? Very strong in the second half. That is when the Bears' defense has had the most life, it feels like, so far. So I do think that I'm going to go bodes this time. Bodes well for the Bears in that particular case. Couple other things here. By the way, in that the Rams 49ers game, it was 27-24, the Rams beat the 49ers last week. You probably know that Cooper Kupp is out. Puka Nacua is out. I mean, that's just huge. Huge, huge. So you had instead Tutu Atwell, 5 catches, 93 yards. He was a 57th overall pick back in 2021. Who else? Oh, here's the guy to watch out for, too. If there is one guy you should circle that was really good last week and was just all over the place making plays, their running back Kyren Williams, 24 carries, 89 yards, 3 touchdowns on the day. DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver, 1 catch for 32 yards. The rookie Jordan Whittingham, 3 catches with 28 yards. So it's a get-to-know-the-Rams scenario. But, you know who's throwing them the football. It's Matthew Stafford. And you know who their head coach is, Sean McVay. So all those factors have to be taken into account. I am picking the Bears to win. It's the first time since week one that I've picked the Bears to win. So, looks like I'm perfect so far in terms of just picking the wins. I'm not a spread guy. I still don't speak gambling, although I've got the app, and sometimes I do put some money down. I don't speak it. I just know that so far I've picked all the Bears games correctly. So I do 24-17. The Bears are going to win tomorrow. So that's the way I see it. So those are a few things that are on my mind. As far as this, everybody's right. Everybody's right. Like, it's a must win. It's out there. Everybody's throwing it out there. It's a thing. Like, there used to be a time in our sports culture where it would usually be like one or two people who would dare to have the hot take of early in any season, any of our sports, where they would be, it's a must win situation. Now everybody's doing it. Because, like nobody expected the Bears to be 1-2 to start this season. Whatever. Okay, never mind the 1-2. We didn't expect to see it look the way it has looked so far for the Bears. Forget the record for right now. This was the way the offense has looked, and the offensive line and all of the subsequent issues has been jarring to all of our sensibilities, even though we've all seen it before. That's for sure. But of course, yes. At home, you're favored. It's against a Rams team that's from the West Coast, and don't think that doesn't play a factor, especially with Sean McVay teams. We remember 2018 at Soldier Field. I'll talk about that game a little bit later on, too, the 2018 Soldier. Well, maybe I'll just do it now. That one of my favorite regular season games, like in Bears history, growing up as a child of the 80s, all of that stuff. Like that game, December 9th, 2018, Soldier Field. Bears beat the Rams 15-6. Freezing cold out there. The Bears pick off Jared Goff. They had some moments against Jared Goff. Bears picked off Goff four times in that game. Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Roquan Smith, Prince Amukamara. All great Pat Summerall names, by the way. All of them had interceptions that game. What I remember most about that game, though, was Akeem freaking Hicks. Woo! He was a monster. The box score said he had a sack and six tackles, but God, it felt like so much more. He was just making plays. He was a straight-up menace in that game. I was like, whoa, this guy. Wow. That's where you started thinking bigger things for Akeem Hicks. What else? Oh, and then as so typical of Bears football and what we are trying to get away from, while that game was fancy and I love that game because it was just I was on the sidelines of just a gritty. Oh, not to mention too that going into the game, the Rams were what, 11-1, the Bears 8-4, so the Rams were elite. So, and they came into the Bears' cave, so to speak, and the Bears just hit them over the head with a mallet that day. They kind of walked. The Rams couldn't get out of there faster that day because of the defense. Oh, yeah, and then the offense. Mitch Trubisky was putrid that day. 16 catches for 30 yards, 110 yards, not 30 yards. Three interceptions, and just for the hell of it, throw in a sack. He was sacked one time on that day. Good old Jordan Howard did have 100 yards rushing, just over 100 yards rushing. But while I'm thinking about that as one of my favorite like regular season Bears games, and having had the sideline view of it, and you know, being on the field talking to Hicks after that game, I mean that was sick. But now I'm looking, I'm going, well, That's typical of the Bears. And again, all that great defense, like, and the elite defense, it didn't get you anywhere. It ultimately didn't get you anywhere because the offense was not on the same pace, same par. And I know that Mitch Trubisky was strong in the fourth quarter of that game, but I'm talking about the whole season, and it was not sustainable. And guess what? The whole thing broke down eventually in 2019. So anyway, there's that one of my favorite Bears-Rams games for sure. The big topic out at Hallis Hall this week, though, had to be what was going on with the Bears players and the Bears coaches. And Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, essentially being told by the players through Mercedes Lewis to be more assertive. As a matter of fact, let's play that for you to get you caught back up on that. Here it was. I was in the locker with several other reporters around Mercedes Lewis's locker. He didn't talk a lot. But so this was a special occasion. We all gathered around, and here was the money cut from Mercedes Lewis about Shane Waldron and the Bears coaching staff.
Mainly just continue to be vocal about the things that he sees, and don't feel like you can't point guys out, you know, from the oldest guy in the room, being me, to the youngest guy. Like, don't feel like you can't. You know, coaches. I want to be coached. I want to be great. Like, this is not you know, it's just not for play. You know what I mean? Like, this is our job. We understand that, you know, it's a high, stressful and production-based business, and we all got to be doing the same things or everybody gets fired, right? So ego is supposed to be left at the door, and that's what it's about. And, you know, he's very receptive to that. And I think, obviously, you know, coming in, we got a bunch of dudes, right, not just guys on the team or on this offense. We have dudes that have done it at a high level. And so sometimes as a coach coming in, you may, you know, be walking on eggshells, and I just kind of put that to bed. Like, it's not – nobody's sensitive in here, you know. We want to win games just as bad as you do, and it's a collaborative effort in everything. This is not Pop Warner, you know. This is – we work together side by side to get things done, and, yeah, that's really what my message was.
Yeah, are you pumping your fist right now as you're listening to Mercedes Lewis talking about Shane Waldron? He doesn't have to walk on eggshells. We got dudes, not guys. Everybody gets fired at the end of this. So, dude, look, don't keep secrets, man. Don't hold back. We're all in this together. There's a bunch of guys in this locker room that want to win this year. There's a bunch of guys in this locker room that don't want to get fired from the Bears after 1 year. There's guys in this locker room that want extensions with the Bears to stay here. So, I've been saying this since I heard the quote, crazy, not great, but also awesome. It's not great that the players have to tell the coach to be more assertive. I understand that, but it's incredible that they caught it 3 weeks into the season. If this was typical Bearsness, this is something that would have been off the record and reported by one of us out there at the end of the season. Players whispering that Shane Waldron needed to be more assertive. You know it. You know that's exactly what would have happened. So on the overall, I thought this was a huge win for the Bears. Now, it doesn't mean anything is fixed. It now means that Shane Waldron needs to be more assertive and stop walking on eggshells. And is he capable of being that guy, being a little more alpha, being more assertive? We don't know yet. So the action still needs to take place. But I was bursting with victory for the Bears from that perspective when I saw that. So I did pose the question to Matt Eberflus, and I specifically asked him, was this a good thing that occurred?
Well, I think it's a great moment. I really do. I think that's all positive. You're learning your guys as you go through adversity or go through the season, and I think that's always the case. And you know, you do that with rookies when your first year with them. You learn, you know, how they respond to different things in terms of success, adversity, maybe injury, a lot of things that happen in football, and that's what you're learning that, and you're learning that as a coordinator. You know, as you go through it. And that's the relationship that the foundation that we built in the springtime and continue to build is just ongoing process of that. And I think all those conversations are great.
How do you feel like Shane has taken the feedback from the players this week?
Good. Shane's a great communicator, works well with his staff, works well with the players. And all feedback's always good feedback. You know, it really is. And I think that, you know, the first thing, you know, one of the first things we talk about is respect. You know, respect in the building for staff members, for everybody that's in the building. And that's done in a respectful way. But it's also got to be honest, and it's also got to be forthright. It's also got to be detailed and get into a common solution that's workable for everybody. So, and that's what we're doing here.
Is it refreshing, too, that the players want to be held accountable? Is that unique?
No, I don't think so, because we've done that since we've been here. I think that's an important thing to hold everybody accountable. You look at your performance for what it is, and you know it's an after-action review. It's done in the military. We do that too. It's really the same type of thing. You know what was good. You know, look at what you need to improve on. You know, and making sure that you take the steps necessary to improve on those things week to week.
Yeah, so the Flus and I are kind of on the same page. Now make it happen. It's a win. Now you guys got to do the second part. Before Chicago takes on L.A., tune in tomorrow morning from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's and Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Right before we go to break, I do want to give Johnny a chance, Chicago Johnny, a chance to talk here on The Score. What up, Chicago Johnny?
Good morning, guys. I have a question for you. Please listen. Why would anybody hire a coach that has a proven record that he is not good? You said he was fired in 2022 from Indianapolis.
Who are you talking about here? Who are you talking about, Chicago John? I'm listening, see?
The offensive coordinator.
I got you. Please listen. Okay.
Why would management hire a coach that has proven he's got a bad track record and that he's been fired from the job? And let me ask you something. After he got fired, where was he? Was he with some other team?
Who got fired?
DOC, offensive coordinator.
You talk about Luke. Waldron.
Shane.
Okay.
Yeah, he got fired in 2022. Now, what did he do in 2023? What team was he with?
Seattle.
Okay, and obviously he didn't do that well there either.
I didn't necessarily want to get into defending Shane Waldron, but do you discount Geno Smith's development?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's not it's not horrid, I don't think.
Well, so far, to me, he is. You guys can have all the talent on the team, but if you don't know how to develop that talent, it doesn't work. And, you know, I'm not saying bench the players, but maybe move them over to different positions. Find out where their strength is and put them there. But he's not doing that. And so far, I don't like that. And here's one more thing, then I'll let you go.
Okay.
Why would you fire the entire coaching staff last year, but you keep the head of the snake? I'm not an Eberflus fan. What did he do last year to keep his job? 7-10? That's
well, what
not
about
good.
I'll leave you with this, my friend. What about the defense?
Our defense has always been good.
You got to give him a little credit. Thanks for the call, Chicago Johnny. I'm glad that you got a chance to talk here, and I listened to all of it. I will say this. I think I got tangled up, too. Yes, Shane Waldron has been horrid so far. I mean, as a whole, I don't think his career has been horrid so far. As far as the Matt Eberflus thing, yeah, I mean, look, if you got an issue with the Bears having brought him back, I do understand that. They did also, for the record, Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, was not fired. Luke Getsy was really the sacrificial lamb last year. Like, that was the statement that they made. And we'll see about Shane Waldron. And, like the initial question of, like, where do they find these guys? Where do the Bears hire? I have no idea. I mean, really. That's why I'm not comfortable giving the bullet points here to defend Shane Waldron, because there has been a long history of the Bears not hiring the right offensive coordinator. There have been some guys that have had moments of success recently, like a Mike Martz, like an Adam Gase. And then I'm stuck saying after that. And I will not take you through the litany of offensive coordinators that failed here with the Bears. So when somebody asks me the question, where do they find these guys? I have no idea, man. I have no idea. For whatever reason, the offensive coordinator position and the quarterbacks in this town, the hiring and signing of those positions has always been putrid. I'm not ready to call it that yet for either position, obviously.
Well, Mark, you're a good listener.
I am a good listener.
All the bullet points that he hit, you hit him as well. If I need to vent, I know I can give you a call. And you're going to listen.
I was a little worried about that call, but then he kind of opened me up to some of the realities of, and I realized where he was going. I mean, he was incredibly cut off the head of the snake, all that kind of stuff. My final answer before we take the break, my final answer on Matt Eberflus being back this year was he deserved to be back, because while the Flus was imperfect in his first 2 years, just like everybody attached to the organization, you can't all of a sudden put together the team that you had envisioned putting together when Matt Eberflus came in and then say, you're not invited to the party. Like there is that part of it. And then the defensive part is undeniable. He took a bad defense early in the year, made it good. And I would say, look, the firing of Alan Williams may have saved Matt Eberflus's job, because that's the part you could put down on the resume and say, here. It's undeniable. It's factual. The other part is just more human, the part that I'm talking about, that it would just be, I think it would be a bad look to say, okay, we finally signed all these great players, but we don't want you back. Thanks for putting up with a 10-game losing streak. Thanks for putting up with Justin Fields and everything last year. We're out of here. We're on to the next. And then the other part of it, too, is because of the Bears' history of hiring head coaches, what's the point? I mean, like, where's your successful, other than Lovie Smith and Mike Ditka, who are these successful head coaches the Bears have had in the past that have led you to greener pastures and winning? So why would you trust the Bears then to hire somebody better? That's not the solution right now. That's where I stand with Matt Eberflus. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Josh Schrock, NBC Sports Chicago, his final weekend covering the Bears. And as always, Josh has great insights on the team. So we will talk to him next on The Score.
I think there's always a sense of urgency in the NFL. You know, it's every week, right? Every one of these games counts, and there's always a sense of urgency for us to execute, you know, and get the job done that week. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, like last week, you're disappointed. And the guys have to learn to be able to move, you know, to the next week. You know, like we won the first game, you got to move to the next week. And that's important that you learn how to do that. You got to stay steady in this league, and you got to perform on the grass, and then you got to be able to perform on Sunday. And that's what we're going to do.
That's right. That is Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. I'm Mark Rohde on The Score. Let's talk more about the Bears and Rams with my guy, Josh Schrock. All guests appear on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Josh Schrock with NBC Sports Chicago. Final weekend of covering the Bears for Schrock and all. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you, Mr. Grody?
I am doing well. We'll talk more about what's happening with you and with NBC Sports Chicago towards the end of this, but let's get into the Bears and Rams for tomorrow. I mean, I am laying out a case for the Bears to be a winner tomorrow for the first time since week one. Everything seems plausible. Are you feeling it for the Bears tomorrow at Soldier Field?
I mean, it's a very winnable game, right? I mean, the Rams are, if any team's been hit harder by injuries in the first 3 weeks, I can't find one. No Puka, no Cooper, down a couple linemen. But I mean, Grody, like we're honestly at the same point I was at the start of last season with the Bears, where it's just like they got to show it to me before I.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know. All your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pick 'em. I mean, the Rams are going to have the head coach advantage by a mile. They got the quarterback advantage. I mean, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford just beat the Niners with bubblegum and spit, basically. So, I mean, the Bears can win, but they got to run the football. They really do. The Rams have been gashed on the ground just like the Colts. And if the Bears do what they did in Indy and drop back 50, 55 times, I just don't think that's a winning formula. And then you're just relying on your defense to bail you out like they did against Tennessee.
Yeah, we all thought. I thought, I know a lot of people thought that last week would be the week where the Bears would be able to run the football, because Indianapolis is so porous in terms of, I'm sure the numbers look a lot better now after they had a little taste of the Bears, but the Bears are averaging 72.7 yards per game on the ground, the lowest in the NFL. So why, Josh, would you expect that to change tomorrow, and what do they need to adjust specifically to make that better, including personnel?
Yeah, I mean, I think, one, they just need to commit to it. Like, I felt like against Indianapolis, they ran the ball just to do it. Like, it was like box checking. Like, they do it, and they get 6 yards, and then they were like, cool, great, all right, now we'll go back in, leads to 11 personnel and we're going to throw the football. And it's like, no, just keep doing it. And they need to
Hold on a second. You know what? You just put it perfectly. Because what I've been saying in that place is, you know, they look good early. I keep saying, like, Roshan Johnson in an 8-yard run.
Yeah.
I think even DeAndre Swift busted one to the outside that maybe went 10 yards. So that's what I've been saying. I've been saying, like, those guys actually look good early. But you put it pretty well. They're like, okay, we showed it. Now can we do play action? Now can we throw the ball?
Right. Yeah, that was the point, right? Like, they almost, like, They treated it like the Colts had forced them to throw it when they never made the Colts force them to throw the football. Like, when they ran it up the middle, Roshan Johnson was just kind of like clip, clip, clip. And then they're like, okay, cool. That's great. All right, now we're going to go play action. Let's try to throw it to DeAndre Carter. And it's like, no. You just keep running it until they actually – you make them stop it is what you do. So I think that's the first thing. Like, just commit to the run and commit to the runs that – your personnel are good at, and I think right now that's north south, that's up the middle, that's more power with Roshan Johnson because the line just hasn't been good. Like, I don't think DeAndre Swift's been very good, but he's also averaging 1.7 yards before contact, so he's not getting any room, and when he gets room, he's not making anyone miss. So I would rely on Roshan Johnson, run it up the middle, lean on the north south run game, and then throw it.
I think another way of putting all of this too, just building on this, is that the Bears have overcooked it. They have overdone it, just like, sort of like the media, all of us, and I'm complicit, and the fans,
yep.
Everybody wanted to see lights, camera, action from Caleb Williams to begin the game. They, what, like, dirty little secret? Oh, my God, a Bears quarterback threw the ball 53 times, and he was over 300. I mean, the numbers look gorgeous. We all know, in context, they weren't gorgeous, but it's there. To me, there's a part of this where, this staff, this organization, kind of wants the same thing all of the meatballs and all of us in the media want to see too, and that is Caleb Williams do it. So I don't know if you agree with that or not, and what does Shane Waldron have to do now to, I guess, compromise?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no question. I think we can all agree that Shane Waldron clearly wants to throw the football. He likes throwing the football. I think it's clear they spent the entire offseason building this team to be an 11 personnel with the three receivers, and Keenan Allen went out and they were like, you know, we could adjust, or we could just be an 11 personnel and keep throwing the football. And that's great, but they need to be more balanced. You know, Caleb goes up there and he says, you know, if I have to throw it 50 times, that's great. If I have to throw it 9 times, that's also great. It's like, no. The number is 30. The number is 30. We don't want you only throwing it 9 times.
Look at me. See this number? 30. Boom.
Yeah,
right there.
Right. Yeah. We don't want you throwing it 9 times because that's a bad sign. We don't want you throwing it 50 because you might get killed. 30 is a tremendous number. We like 30. So I think Shane Waldron has to just figure out how to balance the offense, how to develop Caleb as a passer, because Caleb's getting better. He's making strides despite all the chaos around him. But, man, the whole point of getting DeAndre Swift was to lean on the run game early, lean on a weapon back early, right? Throw it to him a lot, run it a lot, make life easier for Caleb. And instead, they've just done the opposite. They've been bad at running, and when they had a chance to run against the Colts, they said, no, screw that. Let's go into 13 personnel and do play action. When no one was biting, the Colts didn't even bite because you weren't running the football.
Exactly. Those three runs at the beginning just ain't going to cut it. Great stuff going on here with Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. So all of that said, the Bears' offensive line will remain the same for this game. I mean, I don't honestly, man, I'm not sure. Like, I'm not going to fight anybody who says this isn't good enough, but I'm not sure what the alternative is right now. Do you see one?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think that was kind of the thing, you know, last week, you know, when Flew said, hey, we're not going to make any changes. And then they did a soft benching of Nate Davis. But, they don't have anyone to dust off. Like, there's no one who's sitting on the bench that should be playing. That is, like, Matt Pryor was that option. Ryan Bates is on IR. Like, they need Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, and Tevin Jenkins, their three best linemen, to just be better. I mean, they're giving up 13% pressure of their pressures come from the left end, 11 from the right end, and like 10 from over left guard. Like, those are your three best players, and they're not playing well. Like, there's no antidote without those guys playing well. Like, they're not going to play Karan Amagaji, who missed most of his senior year at Yale, missed the entire offseason program, and has been fully functional in practice for, what, a month? They're not going to dust him off and play him. Like, these guys just, they have to be better, and they have to be coached better.
Absolutely. A couple more things for you, Schrock. So am I to believe, then, that you are not picking the Bears to win the game tomorrow?
No, I'm gonna take the Rams. Like I said, they got Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus. They gotta start showing me stuff before I believe again. I mean, they're like Will Levis going catatonic for 7 seconds away from being 0-3.
you're making me laugh, Schrock, like you do. Which brings me to the hard part of this interview, man. This is your final weekend covering the Bears. As we all know, what's going on at NBC Sports Chicago, they will cease to exist after, I guess, Monday, right?
Monday at midnight, goes dark. Yes, sir.
Incredible, man. What are you thinking, feeling? Are you okay? Talk to us, man.
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay. You know, I think, you know, when you have, you know, we've obviously known the news for, what, 5-6 months. You've had a lot of time to process it. But, you know, it stinks, Grody. I enjoy the job. I enjoy, for the most part, you know, interacting with the fans. Obviously, I think our group of beat reporters is the best in the NFL. And, I mean, that makes me better, but also just tremendous people. And I've really enjoyed doing the job, you know, and you've been a big part of that. Everyone has. So it stinks, obviously, but hey, we got one more game and we'll go out on top and, we'll see what's next.
Yeah, no, I love it. And right back at you with some of that stuff. Josh came in a few years ago and he was like the new kid. And man, I'll tell you what, part of what makes the beat great, the Bears beat great, it is a territorial beat, man. I always, like, when I first came in 2018, like, everybody's nice, but I thought it was the most classic case of keep your friends closer or keep your enemies close, because everybody's kind of close on the beat. People hang out on the road, but there is that element of fierce competition. And let's make an agreement to all kind of stay close so we all keep an eye on each other.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, it's incredibly competitive, and I think, you know, Bears fans should count themselves very lucky. Like, I think there are a ton of fan bases that would kill to be as served as the Bears fans are. Like, just an absolutely loaded beat with talented people in writing and podcasting and radio and TV. And, I mean, man, it's competitive as hell, and it made me better, and it was a ton of fun. Because, like you said, we all have a good time on the road, and we all have a good time in the media room, but we're also kind of keeping an eye on everyone to see what everyone else is doing, what they have that we don't. And I think that just makes for a good beat ecosystem.
Yep, no doubt about it. And Josh doesn't have to say this, but I will. Don't think that Josh was not offered opportunities to stay here in Chicago, but we all have to make our personal decisions on things. Yep. So, Josh, it sounds to me, Josh, like you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, hey, you know, I'll be all right. I'm better than some and not as good as most, right? And that's okay.
That's a pretty good way of putting it. Well, man, it's been a blast working with you. I'm sure, like, the beautiful thing about the way 2024 works and is really never goodbye, because we're all connected, obviously, in every single way, shape, or form. And I'm sure that our paths will cross. And something tells me you and I will talk on the radio again someday.
Hey, you got my number. Anytime you want to talk, we'll talk, and I will see you in a press box down the road after tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, let's not skip past. We got a whole fun day hanging out next to each other in the press box tomorrow.
We got 60 more minutes of Matt Eberflus coaching some good football. I'm excited.
Let's go, brother. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, later, Grody. Be well.
Yep, that's Josh Schrock, NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, he's one of the people that I sit next to out at the press box. Yeah, you form a bond with your press box mates.
I'm going to miss Josh on the beat. He was really good.
Yeah, like I said, he came in, it's quiet. No, but who is this guy? Who is this guy? Then you're like, oh, okay, he does good work. Oh, he asks good questions. Oh, he breaks stories. And everybody, oh God, what I forgot to ask him, though, was about potash. I love potash. You know that, Alex. But, man, potash and Schrock, like, potash always, those two are thick as thieves, I tell you. So I don't know what will become of potash with Schrock leaving.
I guess I'll continue to take care of him. I have to take a break. When we come back, well, we'll tell you what's happening when we come back. We may have had an adjustment. We'll talk to you in a little bit here on The Score.
We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hey, hey. Hope everybody's doing great on a Saturday. I'm here with you up until the start of Cubs baseball, 12:45. Cubs and the Reds coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Unfortunately, Matt Verderam has had to cancel. That's okay. Hope everything's all right with him. We will. This actually gives me an opportunity in the 12 hour to talk about Keenan Allen a little bit and had a great conversation with him around his locker yesterday. Answered a lot of questions about his foot injury. It looks like Keenan Allen will probably play tomorrow, but we'll get more in depth on that here in just a couple of minutes. Reading some of your text messages too, as promised. 312-644-6767. And we'll keep those phone lines open as well. 802. Again, sight reading text messages. I've never read these. Right at the top, I hope Schrock stays on the beat for someone in town. I love his style. Well, I know he could have. Could we have a Dave the Cat update, please? Yes, yes. Dave, I'm actually broadcasting from home right now, as I do for these shorty Saturday shows. Dave the Cat is in front of me, sleeping in a carrying case because it has comfort foam in it. So that means I'm going to have to clean the cat hair out of it. Right, Dave? But he is fast asleep, as he usually is during these shows. He doesn't even care that I'm, like, being loud. So that's the Dave the Cat update. Other than that, too, he's on a diet. I think he's doing really well on it so far. 414. As always, love hearing you on the air, but is Stevie Sunshine okay? Haven't heard him in a while. Yeah, he's fine. I just texted with him the other day. He just refuses to come in for the short shows. That's all. 802. Martz? Success? Here? Beg to differ. It's all relative. It's all relative. Yes, Mike Martz, relative to other offensive coordinators this town has seen, there has been relative success. I was just trying to find somebody, and Adam Gase and Mike Martz were the first two names out of my mouth. Maybe I should have gone Ron Turner. Like, I didn't hate Ron Turner's offenses both times that he was here. 630. They stick with intern head coach Eberflus. This will not end well. Football suckage as usual. McCaskey, Bears, perpetual losers. Well, all I can say to that is Flus is under the microscope this year. He's got the players. Now he's got to get it right. 630. McCaskey, Bears could have done something right, in parentheses, for the first time, and hire Jim Harbaugh, a head coach who actually accomplished something before. Instead, you have Matt Eberflus. So that was attached to the other text messages. But I got what you're saying. The reason they don't do that, honestly, like why don't they consider guys like Jim Harbaugh and just any of these guys with personalities? It's fear. It's fear. Bears are afraid. Bears have been afraid since Ditka. You know, Mike Ditka took control of that organization, and obviously, understandably, there was not a good vibe between coaching staff, players, and front office in the 80s. Like, it was bad. Since Ditka, they've always had a fear, it feels like, of hiring that guy, that, you know, the one who would impose personality and want a certain amount of control, because every single head coach after him, except for one coach, John Fox, did not have experience as a head coach. All first-time guys, some of them out of left field, like Mark Trestman and, quite frankly, Dick Turan. And I know he had some success, but I don't think Dick Turan was their first choice. But was that the Dave McGinnis year? So it's been like Dave Wanstead. That was kind of an exception in terms of he was the hot coordinator in Dallas, and the Giants wanted him too. So, but still, first time head coach. And, you know, they've all been really nice guys, all very obedient to the front office. But there always has been a fear factor, I think, since Mike Ditka, that has affected the ownership of the Bears. And just really not wanting many people to have much power. Now, they've changed that with Kevin Warren being here this year. I mean, it's a big move. I don't know what you think about Kevin Warren, but that's a huge concession there to allow for that and to have an actual, hey, that's their football person. Well, actually, it's not. Kinda. He's their stadium guy. Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Ian Cunningham and that whole group. So there is a, I think, a more thorough hierarchy with the Bears this year. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, my whole thought on the Harbaugh thing at the beginning of this year, I did not want the Bears to hire Harbaugh because I just do think things – and it was probably more selfish on my part because I just think he would have been a, you know – crazy with the media and like trying to get messages across to you guys, the fans, I think would have been really difficult. But I would have had a lot of respect for the Bears if they had done it because it would be outside of their comfort zone in a big way. So, yeah, that's the answer to that. Now where was I? The hilarious thing. Yeah, that's a really long text. So I can see things bouncing around there. Somebody said that they liked what they liked during that interview was the singing in the background that they heard. You know who though? I was playing some Bears audio. I'm glad that you asked that because I think it was during our Mercedes Lewis interview. Yeah, it makes sense because that's the tape that we played earlier. Caleb Williams was sitting there like two lockers over and he was just like humming, like tonally. And like kind of singing, and I finally was like, all right. I said, what were you singing during those interviews? And he's like, oh, no, man, I wasn't singing. It's a TikTok thing where you can check your tone. So apparently that's the thing now, that you can see if you have perfect pitch or perfect tone, like a scale of 1 to 10. So he was trying to get to perfect pitch. So I'm glad I can answer some of your text messages there. Coming up, you're going to want to stick around because we're going to give you in full context Keenan Allen and what he told us around his locker yesterday about the possibility of playing tomorrow, about what specifically the injury is, why he's been out for 2 weeks, and how much will it hinder him going forward. More Bears talk next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.